Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates A Question of Propriety.
When it comes to investigating questions of propriety, my secretary, Julie, does not regard me as particularly well-fitted. This is because she has a one-track mind, as far as I'm concerned. And if I mention propriety, she assumes I'm talking about some character getting himself involved with some doll and starting the neighbors' tongues wagging about who was coming out of the doll's apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning, etc. But the question of propriety I am concerned with at the moment is nothing like that. It has to do with, of all people, that dashing, devil-may-care enemy of the underworld, Detective Inspector Caswell, and a certain unhappy, plain-clothes sergeant of police named Jim Barrett.
Sit down, Barrett.
Thank you, sir.
I don't need to tell you this is a most unfortunate and irritating business.
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir.
You had no right to agree to meet that hoodlum in that alley alone, you know that.
I suppose so, sir, but I thought I could perhaps pin him down myself.
A good policeman, Barrett, doesn't go around looking for kudos for himself. He does his job according to the rules.
Yes, sir. Well, I know that, but
there are no buts. You've seen for yourself what happens when you disregard the rules. You get nowhere and almost get yourself killed.
Well, it's only a slight knock on the head, sir. I feel all right now.
Yes, so does Vickery, I have no doubt. He must be laughing himself sick at the way you made a fool of yourself. Great Scott, man. What did you expect when you went to meet him on your own?
I don't know exactly,
sir. Did you think he was going to confess to the murder of his partner in crime, Hadley?
I thought I might get something out of him, sir. He said he wanted to make a deal.
Make a deal. Now you're starting to sound like Peter Troy or somebody. Barrett, this is the police department, not some training ground for creatures who fancy themselves as the detectives of novelettes.
Yes, sir.
Turn out your pockets, Barrett.
My pockets, sir?
Yes, start with the inside ones in your jacket.
But what for, sir?
Because I tell you to. Go on.
Yes, sir. There's nothing in here but my wallet, pen, and notebook, sir. Oh, and this comb. Vi insists I carry a comb, sir, and I...
What's that you have there?
I don't know, sir. It looks like...
It looks like a very large sum of money. Give it to me. Every bit of £1,000 here, Barrett. What are you doing with it in your pocket?
Well, I don't know, sir, but I never saw it before.
I may as well tell you, Barrett, that we had a tip-off that you did meet Vickery in that alley, and that he paid you £1,000 to drop the investigation you've been working
on. That's not true, sir.
I hope not. But unless you can explain how you came by this money, I'll have no choice but to have you suspended, pending a full inquiry.
The particular morning that the good inspector was chewing out his subordinate, I was having troubles of my own. Oh, no, not the ordinary, comfortable private investigator's trouble, like being shot at or beaten up or jazz like that, but trouble with Julie. Yeah, come to think of it, it wasn't the kind of trouble I usually had with her either, because we had no clients, male or female, in the office, and we were just settling down to a pleasant cup of coffee.
Here you are, Pete. Drink it while it's hot.
Oh, thanks, honey. I can use this. Hey, what are you doing to me?
What's the matter?
You forgot the sugar.
I didn't forget it at all. I just didn't put it in.
Oh, well, for crying into the sink, you know I always have 3 spoons of sugar in my coffee.
Uh-uh, not anymore, you don't.
Why?
It's not good for you. Too fattening.
Fattening, schmattening. Now, come on, honey, pass the sugar.
You're putting on weight lately, Pete. You're developing quite a middle-age spread.
Middle age? Oh, now, have a heart.
Well, you may not be middle-aged, but you're getting to look like
it. Oh, now, look here, Julia.
Anybody home here?
Oh, Inspector Caswell. This is a surprise.
Oh, come right in, Inspector.
Thank you.
You're just in time to go on my diet with me.
Diet? Since when have you taken to dieting?
Since a few seconds ago, it seems. Well, sit down. Pull up a beer crate or something.
Thanks.
Julie, some icky, unsweetened coffee for the inspector.
Oh, he's allowed to have sugar. How many, Inspector?
3, thank you, Miss Summers.
3? Disgusting.
Troy, I'm in a spot.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Now, no jokes, Troy. I need your help. Or rather, one of my men does.
Your coffee, Inspector. I've stirred it.
Oh, thank you, Miss Summers. Certain Sergeant Jim Barrett, Troy. Good type of fellow, but a fool.
A nice, ordinary policeman, in other words.
Look, will you stop making silly jokes for a minute? This chap's in serious trouble. Matter of taking a bribe from a hoodlum named Vickery.
Vickery? Oh, I know that creep. He's made a lot of money out of the racket.
That's right. He even killed his partner for some of it, so we think. Trouble is, we haven't been able to pin it on him yet.
Well, how does Barrett figure?
Well, Vickery sent word he wanted to meet Barrett, who's been doing some useful work on the case. Mm-hmm. Barrett, thinking he might force Vickery into a confession or something, went to meet him in a dark alley last night.
Very improper.
Well, that's it. It's a question of propriety, as far as it goes. Well, Barrett was knocked unconscious by someone he didn't see.
That figures.
Now, we were tipped off as to where he'd gone, and when he was picked up, I had him brought to headquarters. And in the meantime, I had another tip-off that he'd been bribed by Vickery.
Inspector, you have some very busy stool pigeons, it seems.
We found £1,000 in Barrett's pocket. And he can't or won't say I got that.
Yeah, well, if I were in his place, I'd be screaming frame up at the top of my voice.
Exactly, and I shouldn't be surprised if that was the truth of the matter. But he doesn't seem to be able to help us very much, and I have no choice but have him suspended.
Mm-hmm. And so, because the police have to use strictly orthodox methods, you want me to use some of my unorthodox methods to help this boy of yours, right?
Well, you can do things I can't possibly do in the circumstances. Look, I hoped I might call on you, unofficially, of course.
Officially, Inspector, I am shocked that a policeman of your standing should make such an improper approach to me.
Oh.
Unofficially, I'm flattered. So flattered that although nobody's going to pay me a red cent for this caper, I shall, in the words of the sage, see what I can do. Okay, Vickery, that's Sergeant Barrett's story. I just thought I'd like to hear your version.
Troy, you bother me, you know that? I mean, I wouldn't exactly call you a friend of mine.
Thanks.
But I thought I knew you for a pretty smart private eye.
You got the message right.
No, I ain't. That's just it. You ain't smart at all. I mean, coming to me with this cock and bull story about me ringing up this Barrett and asking to meet him and all that.
You didn't ring him, or have any of your gorillas here do it?
Troy, if I was you, I wouldn't use names like that about my boys. Especially when they're listening right here. They don't like your calling them names like that.
I'm desolated.
You should be. I should hate for them to start desolating you their way. They're kind of rough, you know.
Yeah, they sure look rough. Vickery, a cop, a good cop, is lucky to get the old heave-ho from the force on account of you.
Now you've got me all desolated, too.
All right. I'm warning you, I'm going to get the truth of this. I believe you framed that kid and you're not going to get away with it.
No. Get out of my office, Troy. Get out now and don't come back unless you want to be desolated real good.
Well, hi, Julie. Anything new?
Oh, Pete, where have you been? I've been trying to reach you.
I was just making inquiries among the stoolies in Soho. I couldn't get anything out of Vickery, so
Pete, Mrs. Barrett rang. She's worried about her husband.
That figures. He's in trouble, there's no doubt about that.
You don't understand. He's been sitting about brooding over the suspension he's under and blaming Vickery for it.
Well, he's on the right track.
Yes, but now he's rushed off to front Vickery and demand that he tell the police the truth.
What?
That's why his wife phoned here. Inspector Caswell had told the Barretts unofficially that he'd come to see you, and she thought...
You mean that silly chump was barged off saying he's going to see Vickery in his office?
Uh-huh, that's right.
Oh, brother.
Well, that's what I thought. You told me that Vickery is pretty tough... Jim Barrett might get hurt.
Julie, that's the understatement of the week. And of last week as well.
Well, well, well. So you want me to confess to bribing you or something, huh? Is that it, Barrett?
Not bribing me, Vickery. You didn't bribe me and you know it. You framed me.
Did I? I don't remember doing that.
You remember all right. You're going to admit it, too.
You hear that, boys? I'm going to admit framing a policeman, he says. And I suppose if I don't admit a frame, you're going to make me, huh?
That's right.
Hey, you hear that, boys? He's going to make me admit it.
Now listen to me, Vickery.
No! You listen to me, you stupid copper. You get out of my office now, quick, smart, before I have you thrown out.
You dirty crook. I'll make you taut.
All right, grab me, boys. That's better. Much better. Why, you stupid oaf. Do you really think I'd let you come in here and start pushing me around?
I'll get you, Vickery. Somehow I'll make you pay for what you've done to me.
You know, you've got too much cheek in you, Barrett. You need someone to knock out of you. That's what.
You wouldn't talk like that if you didn't have all these hoodlums to help you.
Don't talk to me like that. It ain't polite. Curse, doesn't it, Barrett, eh? Well, I got plenty left where it came from. And I think maybe you should have a bit more.
You filthy slobber!
You won't do nothing, Barrett, by the time I've finished you.
Am I in time for this party?
Troy!
You okay, Jimmy? You fit enough to help me out?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's take him!
I'll fix you, Troy. I'll fix you. Good. Hit it all,
It was quite a picnic, that little run-in we had in Vickery's office. Vickery and his boys were tough babies. But young Jim Barrett was no weakling, and I like to think I can throw a mean punch or two. Yes, we got our lumps all right, but we dished it out, too. And in the end, Vickery's plush office was a wreck, and he and his boys hardly had the strength left to toss us out into the street. I didn't think Mrs. Barrett would appreciate my bringing her husband home, looking like a fugitive from a horror movie. So we dragged ourselves back to the office, rang Jim's wife to say he was okay, and then collapsed temporarily while Julie made like Florence Nightingale.
All right, now, hold still, Pete, while I put this collodion on that gun.
Okay, shove it on.
No! Ouch! That hurts!
I told you it would. Don't be such a crybaby.
Crybaby, I like that. Jim and I have just taken on five of the slobbiest slobs you ever saw, and you call me a crybaby. Ooh.
Well, you're not crybaby as far as I'm concerned, Pete. You really got me out of a tough spot there.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that once. Just so you don't do anything as stupid as that again, Jim.
Yeah, I suppose it was pretty foolish, but I got so wild at the thought that that crook Vickery could get away with this frame-up he's worked with me.
Well, he hasn't got away with it yet. Yeah, okay, Julie, thanks. I figure you've had your little scene with the nursing bit. Now, don't try and make a production out of it.
Well, of all the ungrateful...
I am not ungrateful, honey, but we've got things to do. Somehow, we've got to break this frame.
Well, the next time you go out and get yourself beaten to a pulp, don't expect me to be around to fix you up.
Oh, now, don't take on, honey. Just try to be helpful.
How?
By buttoning your lip. Jim, there's one thing I wanted to get from you about this alley where you were slugged last night.
Well, what about it? I didn't see who hit me, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, but somebody did hit you. Yeah, when I spoke to the driver of the police car who went to pick you up, he was sure that nobody came out of that alley.
Well, somebody must have. They couldn't have jumped a wall. It's a blind alley, and the walls are at least 20 feet high. There are factories on the three sides.
Yeah, I know. But working on the time factor, we figured that whoever slugged you must have done it only a minute or two before the other officers found you in the alley.
I was just coming round when they came into the alley.
Yeah. And they'd been outside the alley for about 5 minutes before then, waiting for you or someone to appear. Now, your assailant did not come out during that time.
But he must have. He wasn't still in the alley.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's screwy.
Could the man have hit you with a rock or something, thrown it from the roof of one of the factories, perhaps?
Smart girl, Julie. That's an interesting thought.
Only trying to help.
Unfortunately, I thought of that first. And the police found nothing in that alley that could have been used as such a weapon. The place was empty, clean.
Oh.
It seems to me that we're looking for something just a little unorthodox, as Inspector Caswell would undoubtedly say. Jim, you've been working on this murder of Vickery's partner for quite some time, huh?
That's right.
I guess you've got a pretty fat file on him, background and stuff, his associates, employees and all that.
Oh, yes, I have, but I don't see how that'll help us.
Nor do I. But suppose we take a look at it.
Yes?
Oh, hi there, Garcia, old pal. Remember me?
No, sir. You I do not remember.
Well, you ought to. I'm a pal of good old Victor Vickery, see? And you're his butler, so you ought to remember me.
Mr. Vickery is not at home, sir.
I'll say he isn't, because I just had a fight with him, see? My pal and me, we knocked him about a bit. And we also fixed his gorilla, see? You should have been there, Garcia.
I think you better leave now. If you don't...
Yeah, what'll you do, huh? What'll you do, Garcia?
I'll throw you down the stairs.
What? A little runt like you? You couldn't throw a cream puff down the stairs.
I could throw you down easily, even if you were not drunk. Now take your foot out of the door.
Yeah, you talk big for a little runt, Garcia. Now, what makes you think you're so strong?
I was once a gaucho in my home country in South America.
Gaucho? What was that?
You would say a cowboy. Such a life makes you very strong.
Yeah. I bet you know lots of tricks, too, huh?
Yes, many tricks. Do not force me to show you some of them, or you may be hurt. Now, are you going to leave quietly?
Well, yes, sure. I don't want to fight with you, Garcia. I just wanted to see how Vickery's shaping, see?
Goodbye.
Thanks, Garcia. I guess you've told me all I wanted to know.
Juan Garcia, Vickery's butler.
That's right.
But as Jim just said, he's not one of Vickery's hoodlums, Pete. What could he have had to do with anything?
We ruled out all of Vickery's known hoods when we went through that file of Jim's. Garcia was the only one left.
Did you say you just went to see him?
Yeah. I wanted to find out something that's not in your file.
Huh? What?
What he did before he came here. Now, he was a gaucho.
A what?
Well, it's a kind of South American cowboy.
Oh.
And my bet is that that boy's tough. Every bit as tough as the jerks we fought today.
But he's only a little fellow.
Yeah, that's what had me puzzled. But I've been thinking about that bash on the head you got, Jim. And about the way Vickery's partner Hadley was murdered.
Oh, Hadley's head was bashed in. Apparently, he was hit twice on each side of the head.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean, Pete?
It means I got a little job for you, Julie.
For me? I hope it doesn't involve getting beaten up. I don't like the sound of this case at all.
Now, stop making like a woman and try to be intelligent for a minute. Now, listen. Here's what I want you to do.
Are you Vickery's man?
I am Mr. Vickery's butler, miss.
Quick, let me in.
I cannot do that. Mr. Vickery is not here.
I know he isn't stupid. He's at his office, but I can't go there and I can't phone him either.
What is the matter?
I'm being watched by that fellow Troy, that private eye.
Troy?
Look, will you let me in? I don't want them to see me talking to you at the door. If they come into the building...
Very well. Come in.
Phew. That's a relief.
What is all this? I don't understand. I don't know you, do I?
No. I only know you from what Vic told me. He said if ever I was in trouble and couldn't get through to him, I was to see you.
What has happened? What is going on?
Well, Vic's had me getting close to this Jim Barrett, see?
Getting close?
Being friends with him, you know what I mean.
Yes. What for?
So as I could find out how much he knows and all that. Well, this is the point. I found out that Barrett found out something about Hadley's murder while he was working on the case.
What was it?
Well, I'm not sure. But he's some theory he's got about how Hadley was killed. I don't understand it, really, but he's been reading up some books or
yes,
something.
Yes, what did he know?
He says Hadley was killed with something called a... Oh, dear. I've gone and forgotten it. A windlass or a bondless or something like that.
A bolas, perhaps?
Bolas. Yeah, that's it. You know what that is?
Yes. I know.
Anyway, this is the point, see. Barrett hasn't told the cops yet. He's so annoyed with them because they've got him on the carpet, see. So he's going to put the word on Vic. He's going to phone him up and meet him in that same place where they were supposed to meet before. So I thought I'd better warn Vic what he's up to. Though he might have already phoned him by now. It's taken so long getting here. But Vic said to come to you any time.
Don't worry, miss. You did the right thing. I shall take care of this matter.
Pete, I'm cold.
I've known that for years. You don't have to tell me now.
And I'm getting a cramp huddled up here on this roof.
Honey, you wanted to come along. I told you what it'd be like.
Well, I gave the story to Garcia, didn't I? I have the right to be here when you get him.
If we get him.
I'm beginning to wonder if it's going to work. Jim's been waiting down there in the alley for a quarter of an hour now. If Vickery's coming, or Garcia, he's sure taking his time.
What if Vickery just takes Jim at his word and turns up for a talk?
Then I'll be surprised, that's what. My guess is he'll send Garcia, just as he sent him before, twice.
The first time to kill Hadley, and the second time to knock Jim unconscious, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that bowler sounds a horrible weapon. Two heavy balls on the end of a long rope.
You can say that again, honey. In the hands of a skilled operator, it can kill or maim. I'll just give you a gentle tap on the head.
How did you get on to Garcia being able to use it?
We don't know that he can yet. It was just a hunch. But he was a gaucho, and a lot of those boys learned to use the bolas. Or used to when he was in South America.
Pete, there's something moving in the dark over there.
Huh? Where? I don't see anything.
It's just over there.
Well, that's not Garcia for sure.
It's a cat.
Do tell. Oh, you know, Julie, sometimes you...
I watch.
Shh, look.
What? Pete, it's him.
Yes. He's going to the edge of the roof. And see the coil of rope he's carrying? That's the bolas.
He's going to try to hit Jim with it the way he did before.
Not quite the same way, I imagine, honey. This time, he's going to fix Jim the way he fixed Hadley. He's seen Jim down there.
He's swinging the rope around his head.
Yeah. Okay, Garcia, drop that bolas.
What?
It's Troy here, Garcia. You drop that rope, you're finished.
Pete, look out. He's swinging it
Garcia?
Again.
Garcia?
Pete, you got him.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. You...
Jim, you okay down there?
I'm okay, Pete. Looks like Garcia's dead.
Yeah, but not so dead he can't nail Vickery for us. And square your account with headquarters, boy.
You coming down?
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Well, come on, Julie, let's go. Show's over.
What did you mean when you said I was kidding about...
Oh, Julie, try not to be dumb, huh?
Dumb? And who was it got Garcia to come here tonight in the first place? Oh, you think you're so darn smart.
And I'm not.
I'll tell you one thing. If you think you're smart enough to get down off this roof without being pushed off, you'd better walk softly, Peter Troy.
The way Garcia had worked the frame on Jim Barrett went like this. After knocking Barrett out with a bolas, he secured the rope to the roof, climbed down and planted the money in Barrett's pocket, and then climbed up again. I might mention that Julie was very huffy with me over the whole affair, because one thing Julie does like is to be appreciated, and I hadn't made out too well in the heat of the moment, so to speak. But she got a payoff when Jim Barrett was exonerated from the charge of bribery, and she became something of a heroine at police headquarters. Because the way he and his wife kept telling the story, Julie was entirely responsible for our getting Garcia. Well, after stepping out of line once with Julie, I didn't have the nerve to argue about that.
Walk Softly, Peter Troy is an Artranza production written by Cressig Jenkinson and directed by Russ Reiter. Thank you.